everybody, and welcome to The Bits. This is Paulina.
This is Claire.
And I'm Quinn.
And we have a lot to talk about today, ladies.
Okay, ladies, we need to talk about Penny Oleksiak and this two-year ban. I'm sure you've seen it in the media. I have to bring it up because I recently had a friend of mine say, did you hear Penny Oleksiak got caught for performance-enhancing drugs? And that is not what happened. And that is what you're seeing in the headlines and what you might be taking away from the headlines. And I actually got tipped off on the reality of the situation or the details of the situation through a post that The Gist made, which we love The Gist. But I thought they did a really good job of breaking it down. And I wanted us to talk about it a little bit, and especially with Quinn being a competitive swimmer.
Former
competitive swimmer. But I think it's really interesting. So she has a two-year ban. And it's all about this anti-doping rules, but it was not a positive test. And that's really what I just wanted to make sure we nail on. So, you know, just quick background, Penny Oleksiak, Canada's most decorated summer Olympian. Of course, Summer McIntosh is having her moment. But anyways, if you've heard the name, she's got Olympic medals, face of Canadian swimming until recently. She's been banned for 2 years under the anti-doping rules. The violation is not for performance-enhancing drugs. It is for whereabouts failures, not a positive drug test. So her results from mid-June 25 onward were essentially like disqualified. And now her ban runs until roughly like July 2027. But this is not about meeting. This is about not meeting admin requests that come with being a registered athlete in this testing pool, not a dirty drug test, which is very important.
Yeah. And it's already like, you know, I feel for the girl. She obviously burst onto the scene. I believe it was it 2016? Either way, you know, winning these medals, you know, she was the absolute star for a while and has certainly struggled after her second Olympics. She was kind of like just this Olympic star. Now, of course, Summer McIntosh is our Canadian star. So, like, you have to feel for Penny as well, because she's battling through, like, having been the star. She hasn't given up. You know, she is still swimming competitively. And now this happens. And so you just kind of do have to wonder a little bit about her future, I think, in the sport.
Totally. So, yeah, what I wanted to kind of talk about is, like, I had no idea about these rules that these athletes have to face outside of, you know, and I mean, it's obvious that there's more detail to it. I just never really thought about it outside of like, don't take these banned substances and you will be tested. But every quarter, so like every 90 days, these athletes have to provide a detailed quote unquote whereabouts that includes their address, their training locations and times, competition schedule and travel details, and a daily 60-minute window where they can guarantee they will be at this place at this exact time if testers wanted to show up. In addition to, they have to keep that up to date if anything changes. They have to be available for surprise tests. So there's all these things. So on top of being an elite athlete, you are basically a full-time logistics coordinator of your own life. And like Quinn, you nodded to, you know, she might be even struggling in her career, and we don't know that, but in terms of like where she is at mentally, in any case, it's a lot. And for someone who isn't like in their prime, would it be worth it to do all that? I don't know. And then you get slapped with that huge penalty, and it's just, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, on the flip side, like I do feel bad for her, but at the same time, like, it's kind of your job. You know,
but
and
like
every other athlete is able to do it. So
yeah,
if you can't, then, you know, the system isn't the problem, in my opinion.
Right. It's unfortunate that this is happening over an administrative type error.
Yeah, exactly.
That's annoying and that sucks. And it's also, I get it. It's her job. But she is also Penny Oleksiak. Like, she is a big name. She's well known. You would think that they would maybe understand, like, okay, this is obviously not her first time.
Well,
she probably should know. But at the same time, I think the worst part about it all is that there's the incorrect narrative going around. That's
exactly
what's unfortunate, right? And it's like, people need to get their facts straight. this isn't, she didn't fail like a doping test. This is an administrative issue.
And this
right.
has,
and yeah. I think that's what feels unfair about it because, mm-hmm. and just to be clear, like for her to get this level, it's three failures in a
right.
span. It's not like she's just like ghosting. Okay. Three failures in a 12-month span. So yeah, that could be, who knows what those nuances could have been around those failures.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so unfortunate too is that, like, as a spectator, what are the things I care about? Do I care about that she didn't, like, what I care about is that she's not doping and that it's fair?
Yes.
Is that what the standard of fairness is that you're that administratively coordinated? I mean, like, I hear you, Quinn, in that it's not the system, but maybe, like, is there no forgiveness when you're actually not doing the thing that you're not supposed to be doing, which is doping? Because that's what matters. It seems like a weird penalty for
you know,
2 years.
And, you know, if it was one time, then there's no forgiveness. But we're talking about three times in a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like right. in only a year. Like, you screw up the first time and you're like, oh, God, okay, I got to be stay on top of this.
Fair.
But you know what? I feel for her. She's got, who knows what is going on in her head.
Mm-hmm.
With her career and with her training and how she's swimming and, you know, to go from like ultimate fame to now Summer McIntosh. Like, listen, I'm sure she's proud of Summer McIntosh, but that's just not easy, period. You are the absolute star and then you start not swimming that well. And so I imagine it's all connected.
Mentally. Yeah, it's a real...
I don't want to make assumptions about where she's at or what's going on with her, obviously, but we know from talking to professional athletes or former professional athletes or hearing about them in the news that the mental health struggle of athletes is so intense and the identity crisis that athletes go through is so intense.
And they don't have a ton of supports.
And they don't have a ton of support. So I also wonder, if that was something to be at play, I would hope that there would be some sort of support or there would be some sort of grace applied to that if there really is a mental health struggle at play in this mm-hmm. particular scenario.
Yeah, or this scenario or any other, because we don't know that that's the case. But
no, exactly. And I don't want to make assumptions, right?
Yeah. But I mean, all this to say, you know, reputationally, this is going to hurt and that feels unfair. And I'm hopeful that more people can understand that, you know, what's happened to the extent that we can understand it.
For sure. That the correct story actually gets out there.
Yeah, it's a major difference.
At the end of the day, the correct story gets out there. She's not doping, guys.
She's not doping.
That's what we want to know.
We're going to do a lot of teaching today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Did we want to lead into a teaching moment from Quinn?
Do we want to? Yeah, we can do that.
12-year-old taking on guys on twice his size, you know, 40, 50 extra pounds, and he's knocking them to the ice, winning battles.
I try to stand out as much as I can early just to get some recognition so it'll be easier to go up in levels.
Savoy is one of those incredibly rare double underagers. The Sabres roster has 15 players born in 2002. Just three were born in 2003. Savoy was born the first day of 2004. He just turned 13. The forward should be playing Pee-wee.
It's a big jump, you know, with the physical side, the maturity side, the speed side, the strength side. Everything factors in, but overall, he's handled it well. He's adapted well.
He trained all summer to make the jump.
Just a bit more challenging and to keep improving. It was a big thing for me.
So that voice you were hearing, that prepubescent young boy voice, is now an Edmonton Oiler. Matthew Savoy has kind of started to really make a name for himself with the Edmonton Oilers, of course, against the Seattle Kraken. He had a couple of goals. So far, he has 9 points in 28 games with the Oilers so far this season. And for those who don't know, you know, that's why we're here. We're here for the casual fan to teach you a little bit about Matthew Savoy. So actually a draft pick of the Buffalo Sabres, but has now ended up in Edmonton, which is his hometown team. And that story is something that I did back I can't even remember what year it was, but he was 13 years old playing with kids 2 years older than him at a Bantam AAA hockey tournament. And so that was kind of the start of his journey. He stood out as a very big star at that time. So to kind of give you an idea, so we all know like Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid both got the exceptional status into the major junior hockey league in Canada, mm-hmm. the CHL. Playing in the QMJHL and then as well as the OHL. So Matthew Savoy actually applied for exceptional status because he was so good when he was young, but he did not get accepted into the WHL. And I think probably a lot to do with his size. So that was like a really kind of interesting turn. From there, he went on to play in the WHL. He played in Winnipeg. And I do remember his first season, he took like a huge hit and he got like, I think he got a concussion. And he, you know, that was kind of the like reminder of how small he is. And so after that, if I'm being honest, I kind of took my eyes off of him and just kind of, you know, put him on the back burner because, you know, I interviewed the star, but now things weren't looking quite as good. But obviously, he has really ended up making a name for himself. He went on to play, you know, a few more years in the WHL. He played one and a tiny bit seasons in the AHL. And here he is. He has found himself 28 games into a season with the NHL as a hometown kid. So, you know, I just thought it would be kind of fun to share a little bit about his history and how he's ended up where he's ended up.
Must be so cool for his family to be able to watch so many games, assuming that they're still in the area, you know, see him go through all that and then get to see him play for the hometown team. That's so cool.
Yeah. And then something. So his brother, Carter, who is actually older than him, was also drafted by the Oilers as well. He's playing in the ECHL. So it seems his career isn't quite taking off like his brother's. But yeah, so the Savoy boys are now, you know, Oilers property. And Matthew is really starting to make a name for himself.
This is one of those names that appears French that I thought was Savoie.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, it probably was.
Savoy.
It has been anglicized and butchered.
Yes.
Yeah. Although in Canada, we're pretty good at keeping and maintaining some of the French pronunciation.
Yes. And especially
all the time in the NFL, whenever like we see a name that seems like it should be French, like Tyler Allgeier, and it's like Allgeier.
Obviously Allgeier.
We struggle with that.
So what are you like having followed him for a while, Quinn? Or at least like early in his career and now seeing him again. Do you see anything in his game that looks familiar? What do you like about him? What do you like about him for the Oilers?
Yeah, I think what I'm going to love the most is kind of the tenacity and not letting his size become a factor, right? So when he was playing as a 13-year-old, I remember the first like 10 minutes that I was watching one of his games because I was there with my camera person and he took off down the ice looking like Connor McDavid. It is actually quite funny. He was a puck carrier. He didn't make the play, but that shot made the story. So I think it's probably just he's really learned how to play to his size because he was small and you know, he had a pretty tough injury in his first year in the WHL, first or second year. So I think, you know, that's probably what I like the most about him. And he played 4 games for the Oilers last year, but now has kind of found himself a home, you know? Mm. So we'll see how it keeps going, but it's been nice to kind of just see him start to get it more and more. I think that's the big thing.
Sounds like another special boy for us to root for as a fan base, which I like.
I'm not surprised to hear he's resilient. I went to the Kraken game that, you know, we saw some really good offense happen finally. And he had a breakaway opportunity, like silver platter breakaway that he did not bury right before the second intermission. And the story goes, apparently, that Stu Skinner, of all people, gave him some advice during that intermission that, hey, like, I noticed you should use your backhand next time. I think it was open. And then he came back the next period and scored a goal. And I just think that's so awesome.
Was that the shorthanded goal that he ended up scoring too? On top of it, a shorthanded goal. Yes, so that's just the best.
Look at that.
Yeah, and then he got the backhander on a breakaway. So, you know, in within a game to take it from, you know, what could be a huge heady, you know, situation where it's like, I should have had that and getting down on yourself. Although, I mean, when you're sharing the, you know, the locker room with guys like Draisaitl, who had a terrible giveaway that resulted in a goal and then, you know, probably finished the night with what, 3 or 4 points. So, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool to see in a new guy to come and do that.
That.
He's fun to watch.
And a good old Edmonton boy.
Love, I know. I love another Edmonton boy. That's the best part. All right. So Savoy, he's another special boy for us to root for.
Savoy, the special boy.
I love hearing a little bit more about him.
Special boy Savoy.
Let's special boy Savoy. There you go. Oh my God, I can't wait for playoffs. Fingers crossed.
Amy, shout out to our friend Amy for the black market shirts. Special boy Savoy.
Savoy. Yeah, special boy Savoy, Amy. Okay. Speaking of guys who are not our special boys, are we nailing transitions today?
We are. If you're wondering, yes, we are.
Absolutely.
So far, so good. We are 0 for 3, actually.
All right. So I don't know how much you guys have heard about this, but the Tkachuk brothers are taking some heat this week for something they said on their podcast. Now,
no, I don't listen to it, but I did hear about them being idiots. So go on.
Yeah. Shock. They've had a podcast for 3 weeks and behold, they've said something stupid already to
offend people.
Keep them mad.
Offend 50% of the population.
Yes. I watched a clip floating around. It's weird. Matthew and Brady are talking about how they hate when girls call them by their nicknames.
Well, they're talking about nicknames, right? And then Matthew specifically said, I hate when girls call.
Yeah. Nothing worse than when girls call a player by their nickname. For example, Chucky, I guess, is a nickname that he has. Didn't know that people called him that, to be quite honest. Now we are definitely going to refer to him as that, as three women. They both go on to be like, oh, it's the worst. Don't get me started. And I'm like, no, please get started. Like, explain. Why does this bother you so much?
In what world should this bother you, boys? I'd love to hear your reasoning. You?
Okay, so the one take that I heard on this was that I think was valuable, or not valuable, that I think is fair. Which is, it's weird when someone who's not in your inner circle or that has been part of the nickname calls you by your nickname. If it's like an quote unquote intimate or rare nickname, that it's not like Claire Bear, for example, but it's like something more personal that only a few people know. Okay. Which I think is fair, but they didn't say that. They said girls.
They said specifically girls. So what I'm hearing is they only want other men to call them by their pet names.
Yeah.
Like, right? No, we don't want girls to call us by our special names. We only want other boys to call us that.
And that's what makes it weird is, like, it would have been fine if you're just like, oh, it's weird when someone who doesn't know why you have that nickname calls you your nickname.
Yes.
Fine, that's totally fair comment.
That's not what they're saying.
I know. That's what I'm, it's like. They could have made it make sense.
So no nicknames. Sorry, go ahead, Quinn.
You also play in the NHL. Everybody knows your nickname. We know that David's nickname is Davo. Leon Draisaitl's nickname is Dry.
Or Ryan Nugent Hopkins. We can't call him Nuge. We have to call him all the time by his, like, many names that he has. Ryan Nugent Hopkins.
We can't name his name. We say Nuge,
but specifically,
when he scores. So women aren't allowed to do that now.
Well, women aren't allowed to do that. So no nicknames. Sorry about that, Tkachuk brothers.
Chucky.
Chuckles. Sorry, we won't call you Chucky. Sorry about that, Kelsey brothers, if they did meth. You got it, less talented McDavid and only famous in Ottawa Brady.
Paulina, do you have, like, a nickname that you want to just lock in on for them?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, I'm not going to call them Chucky. I'll call them.
Oh. Okay.
Actually, that
has a nice ring
better.
To it.
It's catchy. It's catchy, isn't it?
A nice ring to it.
So
what was that again? Can we do it one more time? I just can't quite remember what it was.
So the other thing too is like, these guys should be happy that girls are talking to them at all. Like in a parallel,
I think they do it that way.
I guess not. I guess they don't care about female attention because they specifically said we don't want girls to call us by our nicknames. We only want other men to call us by our special names. But it's like in a parallel universe where their dad isn't rich and they don't make it to the NHL, like they would have to get by those like busted ass faces and personalities. And it's like, be grateful. Be grateful that girls are watching hockey and are a fan and are calling you by your nickname.
They care enough to know your nickname.
Here's the thing. This is like not, I'm going to take it there, but this is just like another notch in the shitty bro culture that I feel like we're trying to move away from. Yeah. And I know it's not just the women trying to move away from it because it's not good for the sport. And to draw that parallel, it's a reach, but it's not because it's like, oh, you're not invited into this conversation.
And that is so true. And I want to say too, like we put out a TikTok a couple of weeks ago about the Tkachuk Brothers podcast. And honestly, so many men commented saying that, you know, they aren't for this, right? And they think that they're idiots. Mm-hmm. And I asked in that TikTok too, I said, who is this for? Like, I genuinely wanted to know who is the audience here? Because from what I could tell when they launched this podcast, and I don't even remember the name of it, to be honest, when they launched this podcast, and it seemed like the reaction in comments and everything was like, nah, we're good. We don't really want to hear from them. But I've come to the realization that it is clearly for, you know, teenaged hockey boys, right? Mm. Like it's for specifically hockey bros. And this isn't against like young teenage boys who are listening to the Tkachuk Brothers. Like, sure, why not? Why wouldn't they? But it's like their brains aren't fully developed and they also live in this like bubble of hockey bro culture. And they're listening to two guys who absolutely feed into that mentality.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And
it
just
perpetuates that.
Creating another generation, continuing the generation, like shame on whoever gave them microphones because you are now perpetuating, like you said, Claire, the culture of speaking like this.
That the NHL is actually like actively trying to step away from, like to step back from. And make
that
change.
Needs to step back.
Isn't the NHL involved in producing this? Maybe I'm wrong, but
they would have had to get the okay, I'm sure. But I honestly didn't go that deep.
I would assume that you would not want to put somebody like Matthew Tkachuk. I honestly, again, I don't really know much about Only Famous in Ottawa Brady, but I would imagine you wouldn't want to give someone like Matthew Tkachuk a platform this way because everyone sort of knows that he is this guy and that he does have, there's rumblings, right? About the type of guy he is, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why would you give this person a microphone? It's only going to hurt his reputation, which I'm certain he doesn't care about, but the NHL should care about it hurting his reputation or hurting the NHL's reputation.
Yeah, let him burn.
Do you think that their sister, Taryn, who is obviously the only
interesting, desirable
Tkachuk, calls them
that
Chucky?
That we know of.
That we know.
We gotta
ask
Claire Hanna to ask her how she feels about it.
I would love to know if she calls them him Chucky. I don't know if it's both of them that, I don't know. With Taryn, I am certain that she is a goon just like the two brothers.
Oh my God.
And which I'm not against. I think that's... whatever, it's funny.
I'm fine
with them being dumb goons, but like, why do you gotta be like such misogynistic hockey bros too?
And why do you have to have a microphone? Just be a dumb goon.
Not everyone
and
needs
just
a podcast.
Fade into the night.
We do.
No, yeah, we do. We are home of the They'll Give Anyone podcast equipment.
That's right.
Remember that comment? I love that.
Our first comment. It's one of my favorite comments that we
received.
Me too.
Defining.
They'll just give anyone podcast equipment these days, or they'll let anyone buy podcast equipment.
Yeah, and that's like, essentially that's now we're in the same realm as the Tkachuk Brothers.
That's right.
Different ends of the spectrum, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. So something else that happened recently is the World Cup draw. And that's super exciting because of course, Canada being one of the host countries, Canada landed in a really interesting group and relatively safe, knock on wood. So Canada, Switzerland, Qatar, and then the playoff A winner. So this is where it gets a little tricky, because in that playoff A, or sorry, the A pool is Italy, Wales, Northern Ireland, and Bosnia. So if Italy wins their pool and there's a crossover with Canada, that would be a very scary game to be entering. However, Switzerland, very good, very defensively coordinated, higher seed than us in terms of national ranking. Qatar, manageable, could be one of those underdog stories, though. So, like, this isn't a runaway by any means, but not bad, I would say. Not bad. And it will be cool to see Canada play Switzerland. The other thing that we found out is that, you know, where the game's going to be. So there's actually going to be like a full East to West Coast Canada World Cup games, which is very cool.
That's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, so match one is in Toronto at BMO Field, which will be insane. And then they go all the way over to BC Place in Vancouver, and they play their second and third game there. And then, yeah, we don't know what happens after that.
And just some other little tidbits. There's always what people call the group of death. So that's typically the toughest draw. And so it's looking right now like the unofficial Group L, which is England, Croatia, Ghana, and Panama playing round robin spot in the, for the round of 32. So that's kind of the high level important stuff with the World Cup. Still going to admit that I'm still salty about how it all happened and Edmonton got rejected. So,
you know, putting the Edmonton factor aside, it's interesting, right? Because Canada essentially sits as the second favorite in that pool, which I mentioned with Switzerland, but they could have an incredible outcome, but then have to play Italy. And that has me, like I've already mentioned, but it has me both excited and scared. But the 2026 World Cup has a new format, right? So 48 teams, 12 groups of four with a round of 32 instead of jumping right into a round of 16.
Yeah, this is the most teams.
Yeah. So the top two teams automatically advance. The third place team might advance depending on how they stack up to other third place teams across the group. But yeah, exciting. We've got Olympics and World Cup all within a 6 month span. Hell yeah.
Bring it on.
So baby content, but what an exciting year for our sports fans. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening. And we will see you on another time.
See you on another time.